Praise God. What a privilege to be here this morning and be just reminded again of God's goodness. Just reminded again who we are, who Christ is, and our identity in that we are His, or He is mine forevermore. I love that. I appreciate your thought there, Dan, and just I believe what God is just asking is, or when things go well, do we forget God? When things begin to flow for us, when we begin to see things happen in our lives, do we begin to exchange that for that relationship? And really, that's the beginning of it all, is having that relationship. How can I go about casting out devils and doing many wonderful things and come to the judgment seat of Christ and He would say, I never knew you? How can that be? Can we become so works-oriented? Thank you, Mel. Do we know Jesus? Is that what's flowing out of us? Is that what is our passion? I want to just look at the verse again. In Luke 10, 25 through 28, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. Jesus said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. We looked at the heart last time. A couple of weeks ago, I shared on loving the Lord with all our heart. And just in a little bit of a review there, we looked at Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. He talks about that we're naked and open before Him, that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the bones and the marrow, and He sees the intents of our heart. God knows the motivation that you had this morning to get up. God knows the motivation that you have when you read the Word. When you pursue something, God knows your motives. He knows the intents of our heart. We looked at that God wants to be that. He is. His word is sharper and it can divide those two. We also saw that out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. God wants to be us to love Him with all our heart. What's our thoughts and our actions? What's coming out of your heart this morning? It says, out of a heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These things come out of our heart. But what is our heart? Where's your heart this morning? What's in there? Are you loving God with all your heart? And also read in Matthew 5 that blessed are the pure in heart, and there is no wrong motives to have a pure heart. You cannot have a wrong motive to have a pure heart. If your desire is to have a pure heart, there's no wrong motives in that. It can't be. It's pure. And our desire is, if we have a pure heart, He says in Matthew 5, we are going to see God in our lives. Praise the Lord. Do we love God with all our heart? We seen on Wednesday evening as as we were in our Bible study, I kind of think Abe was sharing about Samuel and how Samuel fought the battle there in Goliath, how he did that. But we know when Samuel came to Jesse looking for a king, to anoint a king, you know, the oldest son came and God told Samuel, not him, and just on down the line. And he's like, I'm not looking for an outward appearance here. I'm looking in the heart. Like, God doesn't see your outward appearance, how good looking you are, how handsome you are, how much strength you have. He's not looking for that. He's looking for your heart to be surrendered in a love for Him. So So does it matter what you look like? God sees the heart, but man sees the outward. And I think as we reflect, our heart reflects through our bodies. And if the world never sees a God, and they never see the word of God, what do they think of God when they see you? Because I believe our heart is expressing God through our actions. So we looked at that. So to see if God only loves the heart, why did he say with all the soul as well? Like, he wants our whole heart to be sold out to him, to love him with all our heart. And if that was all that mattered to God, why did he say with all your soul or with all your mind? And what is your soul and what is your mind? How do you love him with all your soul? We want to look at that this morning, loving the Lord your God with all your soul. Your soul, it says in Genesis, God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. He made him a living soul. He became one. It's not that he just somehow, now you're a living soul, do this. But he didn't give him a living soul. He made him. He breathed into him and he became a living soul. Now he is alive and that soul is never going to die. And God, his heart was to have someone that he can fellowship with. And he needed someone. So he created Adam and Eve. He created them in his image. God, I don't know if that would mean God is a soul, but he's a living, eternal being. And I believe we as living souls, we're eternal beings. But what is your soul and how do you love him with all your soul? I just have a few things here we can look at this morning. The soul is, yeah, like I said, the breath of life. It's the life of your body. Like, it's just who you are. It's your personality. It's also the invisible part of man. Like when Elisha, I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Elijah. When this widow's son died, Elijah went back and stretched himself on the child 7 times, and it says his soul returned to him. So you can't see the soul. When you die, your soul departs from your body, and it's still living. Your body, all you see is what's right now. But as we're here this morning, our soul is alive, and that's what makes us breathe. That's what makes us go, right? So the natural life of the body, or the invisible part, or it's your personality maybe, or the element in man by which we perceive or reflect or feel or our desires. Like, what are you reflecting on this morning? Or what's reflecting off of you? Reflection could be, as I watch something, I reflect his image or whatever. Or look into a body of water and you see a city on the other side. It's reflecting in the water as well. So what are we reflecting? What do people see when they see our image? What do people see? What are we reflecting? Also, the muddier the water, the worse the reflection. If you have a clear lake reflecting, it gives almost a clear picture of what's being reflected, right? What are we perceiving? What is our reflection reflecting off of? Is Jesus Christ our reflection? Are we reflecting him with our soul? What do we feel like? What do we feel like doing? Or do we just do what we feel like? What's your desires? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Like, he wants us to learn of him. His desires, his heart. What did Jesus do when he was here? He says, I came to show the Father. Like, he came here with love. Jesus didn't have any condemnation when he was here for the world. He didn't come here condemning the sinners. He didn't come here condemning people. I came to show the Father. He came that we might know the Father, and the Father is love. Jesus came to show us the Father, and we're to learn from him. Where he said, I am meek. Jesus said, I am meek. What is meekness? Realizing, I think meekness is somewhat being, having authority and yet not using that or whatever, maybe in a short way. But meek, he's lowly in heart. But if we do this, we learn from him, we're going to find rest for our souls. We need rest in our souls. Do we have rest this morning? Is your soul at rest this morning? In knowing and loving God with all your soul. It's also the seat of your will and your purpose in life, I believe, could be your soul, your appetite. Some of these are in the same definition as your heart, but I believe it's kind of the same and yet it's different. As you have an appetite, it comes from your heart, but I believe we carry it out. Acts 4 says, 4:32, it talks about they were of one heart and one soul, and as they had need, they distributed there. Revelations 18:14 talks about, is talking about this in the fall of Babylon. It says, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee." Like, what is your soul lusting after? Or is it lusting? Is your soul satisfied? Psalms 107:9 says, "He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." What are you after? What's your passion or your love for this morning? Do you love God with all your soul? Is he satisfying your longing? Is he filling? Are you being filled with God? Does he have your right, the rightful place? Are you loving him with all your soul? Your soul is your mind, how you think, your emotions, how you feel, and the will of what you decide. We're made up into three parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. But Jesus said to love him with our heart, soul, and mind. Your soul is what you think or how you think. Your consciousness. What do you think of? What are you meditating on day and night? Jesus, or David said, Psalms 1, to meditate day and night on God. And how did God know that he would deliver him from Goliath? Because he knew God. He knew God. And he meditated on him day and night. How do people become homosexuals? Or whatever you want to call them. Whatever you want to become. How do you become that? How do you become a saint? And I think it's if you meditate day and night on something, you're going to become that. And you begin to be that. And I believe that's just how simply David knew that Goliath was his. Because he knew God, he meditated day and night, he was consumed with God, and not just that, he had tried God, he had proved him. And I guess I was thinking over that, how did he grab a lion by the beard and take that lamb from his mouth? And Jesus said, or in James maybe, you know, the devil is a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. That lion's purpose was to grab that lamb and probably eat it, devour it. And what does that look like in our day? Who is this roaring lion? And how can we grab him by the beard and pull our little sheep out of his mouth so he not devour them? Do we understand? Do we know what God is about? Do we meditate day and night? What are we thinking? What is our mind filled with? What if the majority of our time is spent thinking on the things of ourselves instead of God and the things we want to do and the things that our vision is and our passions are? We become selfish. We become self-centered. We become like that. If you want to become a celebrity in anything, all you need to do is put your mind to that, your will and your emotions to that, And for the most part, you could probably accomplish that. Romans 12:12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. What are you meditating on? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. So David proved God, and he knew, because he was proving God, and his mind was transformed. He didn't think like the rest of Israel. The whole army of Israel was scared of Goliath, and yet David, inexperienced in battle, was not afraid of Goliath. It's what he was consumed with. It's where he spent his time. It's what he tried God with, his everyday life. It was in the sheepfold, taking care of the sheep. He took a lion by the beard and slew him and delivered the sheep. He killed a bear with his bare hands or his sling or whatever, because he knew God. His mind, his how he thought was different than the rest of the people. Your emotions, how you feel about something, that's part of your soul. How do you feel about something? David said in Psalms 103, he commanded his soul or his emotions to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you're going through. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me. What's inside there? What's coming out of you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and it says, forget not all his benefits. Is it okay to express our emotions to God? I think it is. We express our emotions in other things. We're not scared to express our emotions when there's a race, when there's a game or a sport or anything for the winner. We're not scared to express our emotions. I think it's appropriate to express our emotions just as much to God, and just love him, worship him, express your emotions. And I don't think it has to be just in the private. In your private time, I think it can be an overflow of that. If that's just how you feel, command your soul to bless God. Let your emotions out. We have our will as well. This is probably a big one. You know, God gave us a will. We must choose. God gave us a choice. God gave us a choice to decide what we would do and what we wouldn't do. See here, John 5 verse 30 says, I can, Jesus saying this, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. No, that's not the right verse. See here. It's not what I wanted. What I wanted was John, or Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down, and I also have power to take it up somewhere in in other words, he had the choice. He had a choice to lay his life down, and he chose his will. He had to submit his will to the Father for the work to be done at Calvary. He had that power to take it. He had the power to lay his life down. He also had power to take it up again. But he laid his life down, and I kind of forget. Does it say he left the rest up to God or whatever? I'm not sure. I'm not sure where it is. But anyway, Jesus had the power or the will to choose his path. And so Jesus gives us a will. But if we love God with our soul or our will, we will choose God. Luke 12, 16 to 22. Luke 12, 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Think about that, that he had all these things laid up, and he, in some sense, he was like, you know what, my inheritance, my retirement's settled, I got everything I need to the end of my life, let's just take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But you know, God said, tonight, your soul is required, his soul. We're responsible. If you to love God with all your soul, what could be a way to do this if you have that much that your barns aren't able to hold? And I read a little bit, or explained there in Acts 4, where they shared and there was none that had need. But I also want to bring out something here that I just thought of as I was preparing for this. How easy or how much are we living in that kind of environment today? Are we caught up in this? Eat, drink, and be merry. Do we feel a need in our hearts or in our souls? Or do we just feel like we have what it takes? Do we just feel like we have much goods stored up for many years? My retirement's, you know, gonna be there. We live in a very, I would say, challenging culture. Eat, drink, and be merry. Has there ever been more of that in our day? We just allow this culture to press us into its mold. I mean, there is so much opportunities in our area to just eat, drink, and be merry. And I guess I was just challenging my own heart. What is our motives? Where is our passions? What is our drive? What are we pursuing in this life? Are we caught up in this, in our own living in an area that we do, where there's just everything at your fingertips? We don't need cash anymore. It's just so easy. All you need is this. And you can buy about anything you want. It don't even have to be in your checking account. Just, we'll get it later. I guess I was challenged with this. Are we loving the Lord, our God, with all our soul? And is our wills, as Abe was sharing on Wednesday evening, just surrender or yielded? Are we yielding ourselves to God? Are we yielding our life? Are we yielding our finances, our time, our responsibilities, our passions? Are they yielded? Do we love God? Or will it be at the end where we actually realize God is saying, I never knew you. I didn't realize that's what you were after. And we're like, Lord, I did all this in your name. I even said, Lord. Do we know God? Or maybe rather, does he know you? Does he know your name? Or is he going to just say, well, I never knew you. That wasn't me. I don't know where you got that power. I didn't know you. Are we yielding our members? What a confusion if my members of my body would not obey the head. What a confusion that would be. If my hands would just rebel against my head, whatever you want to move this way or that way, and eventually you would just have to get rid of it. If you couldn't make your limbs and your members of your body submit to the head, you would have to get rid of them. It just wouldn't work too well. Are we yielding our members as instruments of righteousness to God? Acts 14, 18, 21. And with these things, scarce restrained they the people that they had done sacrifice unto them. And there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Paul was left dead. They thought they had killed him. And yet, I'm sure he was in pain. But despite that pain, he just commanded his soul to rise up and go on with life. It's not about me. I must preach in Derbe too. And he was supposing he had to look pretty terrible to their thought that he was dead. And yet, when they left, the disciples gathered around him. It doesn't say that they prayed for him and they healed him. It just says they gathered around him. And it could easily be that they did, because that would have surely been their normal. As you read through Acts, it wasn't, but it doesn't say that. It just says, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. Look at the strength from the body there. And that just empowered Paul to get up and go on. It wasn't about him. He was loving God with all his soul, and how he just chose that path. I guess just in closing here, it's going to be a little shorter this morning, but I had to think in Romans. It says, where sin abounds, his grace doth much more abound. And so I'm like, okay, well, that verse probably doesn't apply to me. I mean, we live in a nice area and nobody's, I mean, yeah, there's sin here, but not that much. But I was just thinking as I was thinking over this, what are we testifying of? Or what are we calling sin? What do we call sin? What are we about when we go out? And I was, you know, do we, with our mind or our will and our emotions, are we witnessing maybe to that atheist? And or maybe that atheist in here. Maybe there's, how much unbelief is still in my own heart? And I was just thinking of that. And it's just like, there's enough of unbelief in here. I need a lot of grace to abound in this in the day that we live in. Is sin real to us? Do we know truly what sin is? Or are we just kind of passive about what we see in our lives and what's coming out of us and what we're pursuing? What are we after? Does that grip us, or don't we see that as sin? If it draws us away from God, and if it is deterring us from the path that God has for you, is that not sin? And do we see sin for what it is? Are we going to allow that roaring lion to come into the flock and take the lambs out, and we just let it go? Do we have a heart to grab him by the beard and take them lambs? He's going to kill them. And I was just thinking, what is the lambs? Who are the lambs? Here are these precious little souls, maybe not so much in age, those who just came to Christ were lambs of that great shepherd, and he cares. And there's a lion going about roaring, seeking whom he could devour. It's time I don't know exactly how this would look, but how do we stand up and grab these, not allow the lion to take these sheep from us? What does that look like? Are we burdened in our hearts, our mind, is our thoughts? Do we even recognize that we need God's grace? Is sin abounding here? I'm talking here. Is sin abounding in your heart? God's grace is sufficient to overcome and to rid us from that, to bring us to a place where we will yield all our soul, mind, and strength to him. As we do that, I believe his grace will be there to allow us to experience freedom in every area. Do we love God with all our heart? Do we love God with all our soul, of what we are and who we are, and what we do with, and our mind, and our strength?